Right, you know, she's in the sixth grade, right? I didn't want to cheat you the wrong way on that one. It's always good to go older, huh? You know, at that age. You know, now we want to be younger, right? Yeah. Always a delight to have her, and thankful for her sharing her gifts with us. Let's pray as we get ready to open God's Word and hear what He has to say to us this day. Father God, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. In the midst of the darkness, Your light shines. So we pray, Father, that Your Spirit would fill each one of us, lead us into Your truth, and teach us You're the God of our salvation. On You we wait all the day. Amen. Our scripture today comes again from Isaiah chapter 9. Isabel said it's the same one we used before. It is. It's the same one we're going to use next week. So just hang on to that thought. Isaiah chapter 9, a prophecy that comes to a people that were in great darkness. So let us now hear God's word. Word of hope. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he's made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You've multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of the Lord. In Romeo and Juliet, Juliet makes famous the phrase, "What's in a name?" That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. You have a name. Perhaps your parents gave you that name because it's a family name. Perhaps they gave you that name because it's one that they liked. Perhaps they gave you that name. Who knows why? I was unexpectedly a boy. So I was Baby Boy Johnson until the day Mom had to take me home from the hospital and they had to come up with a name. And I got my grandfather and my father's middle name. Hence, Walter Raymond Johnson. And the only one who ever called me that was Mom, and that meant I was in huge, deep, deep trouble. Names. In Scripture, names have meaning. I captured that, and so my firstborn, I named Jonathan, which means gift from God. And my second was named Aaron Elizabeth, peace promised by God. And my third, Micah, one like unto the Lord. Giving names of hope as you name the kids, those are things that we find throughout Scripture. As they begin to identify their kids with these names of rich in meaning. We have names given to us in Isaiah chapter 9. And these names are more than just letters on a page. These names are descriptive of the character of Messiah. What would this one be like? The amazing thing about this passage is that God's answer to everything that had transpired and terrorized his people, God's answer to all of that was a child. Earth-shattering, amazing. The Assyrians and every other force of evil would be defeated by the coming of a child. God's answer to the bullies of our world is not a bigger bully. It's a child. It is Jesus. Birth announcements are wonderful ways of spreading the news that a child is about to be born. Usually those announcements come out right after the child's been born, right? In this case, in Isaiah 9, this birth announcement, 700 some odd years before the child would be born. And the announcement includes the name of the baby, and not just one name, but four. And we're looking at those names we began a couple of weeks ago. But the announcement goes on, and in those names embraces what that child would be and do. Now, have you ever gotten a birth announcement for one of your grandkids, and it reads, you know, hey, Izzy was born, and Izzy is going to be an extraordinary dancer and a CEO. That kid hasn't done anything yet. If we were going to talk on the birth announcement about what she was doing, it would be she eats, she sleeps, she gurgles a little bit, and then she, you know, the rest of that story. I don't need to go down that road. But in Isaiah 9, 700 years before the child would be born, there's a birth announcement that comes out, and it says, this child will be a wonderful counselor. This child will be a mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Wonderful Counselor, and the Wonderful Counselor is one who unfolds for us the very mind of God. He reminds us that God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are far above our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. The Wonderful Counselor calls us to love our enemies, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, proclaim captivity for the captives. The Wonderful Counselor will call us when we are grieved to turn the other cheek, to seek peace, to give with extravagant generosity. He's a Wonderful Counselor, and His counsel continues to amaze. If only we determine to live out His counsel and walk in faith rather than fear. But today we're going to learn that He's more than just a Wonderful Counselor. He's a mighty God, and the child is also an everlasting Father. How can that child be a father? He's looking to what that child will be. Mighty God indicates that Jesus will be divinely strong and powerful, which was amazing news for people who were weak and in captivity. The Everlasting Father indicates Jesus will care for His people forever as a father cares for his children. Amazing news to those who are alone and unappreciated. You see, this one who was to come, this child who will reign on the throne of his father David, this one's not just a Wonderful Counselor full of great ideas. This is not another politician in the line of a lot of long-winded politicians who will give to us vain and empty promises. This one is also mighty God. What he gives counsel to, he has the power to carry out. He has the sovereign power to pull off that which he commands and expects. You see, this news about a baby, it's not just pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. This is about a God who not only expects us to turn the other cheek, but who also fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit and enables us as mighty God to do the very thing that he commands. The phrase mighty God is literally God Hero. Isn't that a great name? for Messiah. El Gabor, name even sounds strong, doesn't it? God Hero, Mighty God. There's no question that Isaiah connects the ultimate hope for his people with the reality that God will one day send Messiah. And Messiah, the child, will be Mighty God, Emmanuel. One of our greatest failings as Christians in our day is that our God is far too small. We tend to make God over in our own image. We tend to limit God by our human experiences and our human expectations. But this child, this Messiah, is one that blows that out of the water. He is the mighty God. He's the mighty God who changes our lives and transforms us. It's the mighty God who gives to us the Holy Spirit and conforms us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, and grows within us the very mind of Christ. The Wonderful Counselor tells us that God wants us to live in peace with one another. It's the Wonderful Counselor who tells us to speak words of grace in our conversation with one another. We would do well to remember that counsel in 2018, would we not? But it is the mighty God that empowers us to rise above ourselves and do the very thing that He desires and commands and expects. The question is not, can you pull it off? The question is instead, can God? Can God? Is the church ineffective in 2018? We've been accused of that. But I have great hope. The message we proclaim has and will continue to shape our world and our discourse. Why? Because our Messiah is the mighty God and He is in the business of changing lives. He's changed yours. He's changed mine. Thanks be to God for mighty God. He's the one that breathes life into our dead souls. He molds us into the image of His Son. If it were left to us and our strength, we'd be in a world of trouble, wouldn't we? But thankfully, He is mighty God. And He enables us to live as peacemakers in a world that desperately needs to see what peace looks like. But He's also everlasting Father. And I love that this one follows mighty God. If all He was mighty God, then that would be rather terrifying for us. I mean, after all, He's God Hero. He's El Gabor. It would be almost like Dorothy's vision of the wizard in the Wizard of Oz. You know, he's behind curtains and it's all smoke that's billowing out and she's quite afraid of the wizard until she pulls back the curtain and sees. But this mighty God is also everlasting Father. By His grace, we're able to crawl up into the lap of mighty God and look into His face and with confidence cry, Abba, Father. Why? Because we are His children. And He wants us to know the joy of that relationship. And He wants us to experience that Messiah is not this terrifying, mighty, omnipotent, sovereign God. He is all of that. But He's everlasting Father. You see, He knows your disappointments and your discouragement. He knows your heartaches and your struggles. He knows the things that weigh you down. He's everlasting Father. It is the everlasting Father who ever lives to make intercession for us. It is the everlasting Father, the Messiah, who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. It is the everlasting Father, the Messiah, who would say, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd not only cares for His sheep, but lays down His life for His sheep. We sing of that. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. But sometimes, let's be honest, that's not our vision of God, is it? You ever been to one of those kids' pizza places? Chuck E. Cheese? One of those? Nod your head. At least this is the participation part of this. At many of those, they have a game called Whack-A-Mole. You ever played Whack-A-Mole? Yeah. No? Go to Chuck E. Cheese and play Whack-A-Mole. I don't know if they have Chuck E. Cheese here, but they got something like it, I promise you. Don't go for the pizza. That's not their calling card. Kids love the games. Whack-A-Mole. There's this little mole that pops out. You got a series of holes. I think there's 9 of them. And the mole pops up, and your job is whack the mole. And as you whack it, he pops up in another spot. You're supposed to whack the mole, and then the mole just keeps coming faster and faster and faster and faster. You just whack, 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 until finally the game is over. I don't know the point of the game. Oh, then you whack a mole. But sometimes that's our view of God. We've got this image of God that He's waiting for us to mess up so He can whack us. Gotcha. And then we mess up again. Whack us again. Ah, the Messiah is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's waiting, but He's waiting for us to crawl into His lap and to cry to Him, Abba, Abba. The ultimate hope of our world is not some tin horn dictator. The hope of our world is the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the message that needs to grip our hearts. One of the things I'm privileged to do as a minister is to sit with those who are in their last days. A couple of weeks ago, someone said, "It's got to be hard." To which I respond, it's a rare privilege and a rare gift to share that part of the journey with so many. Some that I sit with are wondering, what's it going to be like when I meet my God? Some are afraid of meeting God. Now, we usually ask why. What is it that's making you uncomfortable? And I will get responses like, "Well, I've tried to do my best. I just don't know." To which I smile. So that's the problem, because most of us do know. Most of us do know that though we tried our best, we often fall short. There's a poem. "Lay your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in Him alone, gloriously complete." You see, our hope in that day is not in what we have done or tried to do. Our hope in that day is in the Messiah, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the one who paid the price for our sins, the one in whom we stand complete. Thanks be to God for the gift of Jesus Christ to us. A child is born. To us, a son is given. And His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.